Monday, December 18th, the year of our Lord, 2017, yours, mine, all of ours. 6:01, welcome into The Drive. I am Carmichael Dave, that is Kyle Madsen. I will start the show, as I probably should start the show, every show, with a sincere apology. It's always a good way to start out Monday. I am not known for having, you know, if you were to put up pros and cons of Carmichael Dave and his radio show, pros would not, the pro section would not have smooth delivery, radio voice. It would, you know, you'd have in the con section, you know, you'd have sort of lispy, very nasally. Well, it's going to be a lot worse today. I apologize. As soon as I left the show Friday, kind of started to feel a little tickle, and not that kind, not the good kind. By the time I got home Friday, I was starting to not feel it, just not feel well. The last week was a travel week for me, and whenever I travel, I obsess on not getting sick. I have the little hand sanitizers. I am always chewing on Airborne and different things, eating much better on the road than I do at home. I take care to try. I never want to be sick on a plane. I never want to be sick on the road. That's just the lamest thing possible. So come back Monday from Atlanta via New Orleans, or vice versa, New Orleans via Atlanta. And by the way, thank God, my goodness, if you haven't read about this, apparently the whole Atlanta airport was shut down yesterday because of a power outage. People stuck on escalators, people stuck in basements, people on planes for 5 hours. It was just wrong. And that was my first experience in the Atlanta airport. And that thing, I did not know, is the busiest airport in the world. And it looks like it is its own city. So for all those people that were stuck there, yes, I cannot imagine their pain. So as it is, and I can't figure out if I'm happy or sad about this, dude, I was out all weekend. I had a Christmas party I really, really, really wanted to go to that I had not gone. I had had to cancel the previous 2 years for different reasons, and it's starting to look like I'm just a flaky Jake. I was all set to go Saturday, and I was going to try to make it. My wife put the kibosh because I had a fever. Said, no, you're not doing it. I was on my back, and not in a good way, all weekend long. Like, literally, get up, go potty, sit down. I mustered up to take, whenever I'm sick, I always, like, have to shower and brush my teeth, like, 17 times a day. Just because I feel sick and dirty.
You can tell you have small children because you said potty.
I know. A small potty and big potty. I was going to say.
Oh, my God.
Small potty. I'm drinking tea and honey. And, you know, the first time all weekend I felt like a human being and was able to just kind of be upright was last night about 2 hours before I went to bed. So part of me is like, you know what, that's a blessing. You know, if I'm going to be sick on the weekends. The last thing I want to do is feel like I did over the weekend and be in. Because despite what half of my listening audience thinks, I tend to not like taking sick days. I put something on Facebook about how I was feeling well. I got like two guys who are like, oh, yeah, well, you already planned to take Monday off, huh? Wish I could work 2 days a week. You know what? I went and checked, you dingleberries. I took one sick day. I've taken one sick day in 2017. It's right here. You can't see what I'm doing, but I'm telling you, you're number one. One sick day in 2000. That is not. We look at sick days like a weakness, dude. If you have a sick day and you're sick, normally you should use it. Because I'm not a big fan of getting other people sick, and I don't like working with people. I used to work with a guy like this. He could be literally dying of some crazy disease. He's going to come in because nothing's going to keep him from the show. Well, okay, dude, but now you just got me sick and you got that person sick and now everybody's sick. Now I'm in here. I got a bottle of Lysol. The first thing I said to Kyle.
He's chugging it.
I'm drinking the hell out of it. I'll tell you, as a sickness thing figured out, honestly, and I want to give a shout out here, is the Chinese. That's normally not a good start. Kyle's already looking at me like, where is he going with this? no matter what I take, man, I took the NyQuil daytime, the NyQuil nighttime, the Mucinex, the Robitussin, the all the, and I'm not joking. Like I just try bottles of things until something takes. And nothing took. And then last night, my wife, who was also under the weather most of the weekend, but she got better before I did. She says, Hey, what do you want for dinner? I don't feel like eating anything. But I said, You know what I might eat? Go get some Chinese food. Go get some Chinese food, and I don't care what you and the kids eat. Get me some war wonton soup. Now, there's wonton soup, which is just, you know, the broth and the wonton, okay, filled with I don't know what.
There's war wonton soup, which is sponsored by Nate Diaz.
That's right, and they just go for it. They fight the other soups. And more often than not, they win. War wonton soup has the broth and the wonton, but it also has like the sugar snow pea pods, shrimp, some beef, some chicken. Like they just throw everything in there. The bamboo shoots. I don't know what else. And I'm telling you, time and time again. And then I forget about it, and then I remember it. Doesn't matter what I eat. Everybody has their own secret. You know, when I was a kid, my mom would make, she'd call it chickasillin. It was chicken soup, you know. No matter what, there's something that is not medicinal that works. And the war wonton soup, I'm fully convinced, is what cured me. Now, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. And I believe everybody has their own little quote-unquote secret cures that they use. Someone's going to text in and say, yeah, I do a cup of tea with a shot of whiskey. Works every time. And someone will say chicken soup. And someone will say, my wife is eggs, cheese, and rice. Mixes it all together into a bowl. I don't know. But I will say this. I am moderately better enough today to do a radio show. But I will apologize one time. So everybody joining us later today is going to be like, God, heat sounds even worse than usual. Well, I'm sorry. From the, what is this? From the 916. You come to work sick, they get mad. You call in sick, they get mad. You can never win being sick. You know what you're...
Moral of the story, don't get sick.
Don't get sick. And I'd gone through three cycles of sickness in my family before this one finally got me. And I'm fully convinced it's because my dad was sick watching the kids last week while we were out of town. They were at my mom and dad's. For some reason, when my dad gets sick, I get sick. I think it's because we have the same genetic makeup. And then whatever crazy virus he gets, I get it. I can make it through anything else. But if it gets through my dad's defenses, it'll get through my defenses.
That's how genes work.
It is how genes work.
Yep.
Not the good kind. You had a question for me earlier. We were talking. We don't have a lot of time. You said you had a it's a football game. Yeah, something went wrong at the football game.
Oh yeah. So Titans played in San Francisco yesterday.
That is a fact.
If you aren't aware, I'm the managing editor of TitansWire.com.
That
check
is
it out.
A fact.
And I got a credential. It was a whole big thing to get the credential. Not that interesting of a story, but I finally got credentialed. So yeah. I'm sitting there and I go to put my credential on. And I tear it, the top of it, on the little hook thing, the lanyard.
There's a lanyard that comes neck. With credentials.
Right, it goes around your neck. You connect it, and the credential just hangs on your neck so people can see it. So it tore. So I have to, like, hold this thing, like, all day on the lanyard to keep it from falling off. So it's fine because I'm sitting for most of the game I'm writing, so I have my credential off sitting next to me. Game ends. Boogie down. Now, I've never covered an NFL game before, much less a Titans game.
That is, are you serious? This is your first credentialed NFL game?
Yeah.
That is shocking to me.
Well, credentialed as a writer. I've done stuff as a runner for CBS and Fox and stuff.
You realize you have ridiculous access to credentials, right?
Yes.
Like on multiple levels.
Oh, yeah, no.
You know somebody who can get you credentialed into anywhere that lives very close to you.
Correct.
And you also work for the state. Okay, right. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, no. Oh, okay. I'm on it. I'm on it.
Okay.
So I go in, motor down to the locker room. Doing interviews, and it's my first time, so I'm just standing outside the scrum with my recorder out, just getting sound. After 3 interviews, we've walked around the locker room. I'm standing there, kind of standing around in the middle. I look down. My credential's gone.
Ooh.
In the middle of a locker room, after a game, the Titans just lost on a last-second field goal. So now I'm standing there, and I'm trying to, like, look around without... Because you can't look around without looking super suspicious.
Sure.
So I'm like kind of like walking by, like slowly looking in garbage cans, trying to see if maybe it got tossed into one. I'm like looking around where we were standing during the media scrums. And I'm like, one of the guys had his bag sitting there, and I was kind of standing over his bag. So I'm like standing there, like looking down into his bag, trying not to look suspicious, because somebody goes, "Hey,
you're already screwed."
Right. Where's your credential? So I'm just walking around the locker room now, trying to blend in with no credential. And I eventually decided to book it out of there so I didn't get kicked out entirely of the stadium.
Nobody asked you for your credential, correct?
Not a single person. No. I was walking around. I didn't even think to tuck my lanyard in. I was walking around with a lanyard with no credential on it.
That's a rookie move.
Total, dude, just brutal. And all I could think of was some angry Titans player was going to go, "Hey, who's this guy?
Yeah, of course.
Who's this guy walking around?"
Of course that's what they're going to do. We just lost by a field goal. This guy's not credentialed, though. And I have a problem with it.
No, but not that. It's me walking around looking at stuff.
Sure.
And I used to work at NBC Sports. I don't know if I ever mentioned that. But
yes, you did.
One of the PAs that I worked with at NBC Sports was getting sound.
Yes.
And so I'm like standing next to her and her camera guy, like trying to blend in, my backpack on and no credential.
They're trying to pretend like they don't know you because you're part of the credentialist peasants.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It was terrifying. Like, I now know like what people feel like SEAL Team 6.
Uh-huh.
I now know the pressure they feel. Because I was in a locker room without a credential.
First rule of, and it takes a while to get used to this, but the first rule always when you're in a credentialed area is act like you know what you're doing.
Yep.
Act like
head
you know
high, that.
Yeah.
Walk with confidence.
Looking around and you know, feeling fear, they can these PR guys can smell fear.
Yep.
If for some reason they had caught you and said, "Where's your credential?" Say, "Oh my God, I have no idea. I had it walking in here.
Something must have happened. It was exactly my plan."
Because they're going to be almost as upset that they failed letting you in, and to kick you out would be an acknowledgement of their own security flaw. So they're going to 99 times out of 100 want to replace your credential. Also, the biggest rule of going into a locker room with your credential, and you kind of just mentioned it right there, is always keep your eyes up.
Eyes up. Yep. And that's why I was having a hard time looking for my credential, because I didn't want to walk around looking at the floor.
You look like you're wiener gazing.
Yes.
It's a terminology. I don't mean to be crass. That's a terminology used. You're wiener gazing. You know what? You can't do that.
And I was
you
just
can't gaze the wiener.
I was just terrified at the scenario where Jarrell Casey, the defensive tackle, goes, "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you walking around my locker looking down?" And now I've got to be like, I lost my credential.
And we got to go here, but what probably would have happened is Jarrell Casey would have looked at you and said, "Oh, that's Kyle from TitansWire.com. And then Rashard Matthews would have come in and said, he would have had his own little...
his own little
sound effect.
He turns and looks at Marcus Mariota. He says, "Turn my replay up."
"Excuse me, Dave, you were saying some guy comes in sick. Pretty sure we know who you're talking about. That's Katie." No, Katie would always come in sick. No, it's somebody else. First letter of the first name is absolutely correct. We'll take a break. Oh, and yes, all of you, I did notice that Katie said on the show yesterday on the Kings game, she said that Zach Randolph was resting because he'd been carrying around a really big load lately. Yes, I noticed that. Yes, I noticed she smirked. Yes, I saw your tweets. I don't know why you were tweeting me. We'll take a break. When we get back, Morning Brew, huge, huge weekend in football. And, oh, yeah, the Kings played a game as well. Back in 3, Sports 1140 KHDK. 108-93, Raptors win. They complete the season sweep after having a four-game losing streak, as a matter of fact. Four-game losing streak to the Sacramento Kings. They beat them earlier this week here in Sacramento. Kings go on the road, and it was actually a much better game. Kings had a one-point lead, I think a one or two-point lead at the half. George Hill had the buzzer beater, which was fine and dandy. This is just a situation. There's not much to say about this game. I don't have a lot of insight. I don't have a lot of breakdown of this game. Here's how I saw the game. Toronto's a good team. The Kings are not. Kings played well. Toronto played better. Kings are too young, too inexperienced. Toronto, they stayed with Toronto as long as they could. Toronto pulled away in the end. That's it. It's not really that Zach Randolph sat because it was a good time to rest him with the days off on the road trip. It allowed him to, and they want to rest generally on the road, not at home for right. the fans, which is the right move. So it allowed him to really, he's going to end up getting like 5 days of rest, basically. It's a good time to rest the guy. He's 36 years old. Other than that, the only thing I want to get into later, Kyle, is what the hell is going on with Scalabissier? I don't, that's the thing that has been bugging me all year long. I don't understand it.
It's a weird thing.
I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's the coaching staff. I don't know if it's a combo of both. But he sent him to the G League, 50 points, 50 rebounds, 80 blocks a game. Maybe an exaggeration, but somewhere in there. Put him in the NBA. 9 minutes, he had a steal and a block. That's it. That's it. So we got to get into that at some point. It was nice to see Vince Carter get a fine send-off out there in Toronto. May have been his last game in Canada. But either way, we need to get more into the Scalabissier situation. Number two. Oh, I hadn't heard Papa's call. I hadn't heard his call yet. Oh, we're going to have Greg Papa on Wednesday at 7:30. And, man, was he very honest last Wednesday. It's been a tough year for Papa. It's been a tough year for Greg. It's been a tough year for Raiders and Raider fans. We'll talk quite a bit about this today, Kyle. Definitely some horrible rules on display over the weekend in the NFL. It was a crazy weekend.
The worst of the NFL rulebook came out, for sure.
Really bad. Now, listen, the Raiders didn't lose the game because the Raiders did a lot of other screwy things in this game. So I'm not trying to be a Raiders apologist here, but let's just expose that for what it's a stupid rule. It's stupid when it happens to your team. It's stupid when it happens to the other team. It's just a dumb rule. We'll look at that. We'll look at how dumb rule affected the Steelers and Patriots game. There was another dumb rule. There's three dumb rules on display this weekend, Kyle. There was the one in the Raiders game.
Fumble out the side of the end zone.
Yeah, Raiders.
There was the catch rule.
With the Steelers.
Yeah, and then the credit card rule.
Oh, God, same game. That's right. Yeah,
with the Raiders.
Yeah,
the NFL just makes up rules to screw the Raiders, man.
Seriously.
Brutal.
That was so bad. You have the tuck rule and you have the fold rule. Number three. My goodness. It was golden. Golden.
Uh-huh. 49ers went to Robbie Lobby.
Shut up.
Which is open on Sunday.
The 49ers win their third in a row. Jimmy Garoppolo undefeated as an NFL starting quarterback. The Niners have actually won four or five by my count. And as
three
or
four.
Well, hold on. One, two, three. No, wait. Didn't they win?
Oh, four or five.
Four
You're
or five,
right.
Yeah. So as they slide down the draft order, they, I guess, here we go. We asked the question weeks ago, would sliding down to the draft order be worth it if you were winning out? Now, I don't think they're going to win out, but I did not think they were going to beat an 8-5 Titans team over the weekend, and my goodness, they did.
Well, now we get a real test. We get the Jags. Best passing defense in the league, A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey, two of the top corners in the league. So we'll see what Jimmy Guwap can do against a real defense.
If the Niners don't get throttled, I'm going to be – this is one of those moral victory things. That Jags defense is so insane.
Very good.
It's so insane. We got to get to that. There's going to be a lot of Raider versus Niner going on this today. You got both sides fired up. Who's in a better spot? And some guy asked me straight up, he said, who's the better quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr? Who's the better team, the Raiders or the Niners? What if they played on a neutral site, the Bay Bowl? What if that was finishing out the year? I don't have the answers. I'll let you answer those, too. 339-1140, 1-800-922-1140. But we will start with the team that is more relevant in the Bay Area, and that is the Oakland Raiders right now, who were looking at a playoff spot, or at least fighting for a playoff spot going into the weekend. They lose a heartbreaker. We're back in three. Sports 1140 KHDK. Do a lot of Raiders Niners today. I promise you. You don't know who Jerry Richardson is. You'll get to know him here very quickly over the next few days. The owner, for now, of the Carolina Panthers. Sports Illustrated had a phenomenal article with a lot of research put into it.
Good reporting.
Very good reporting. Sean Wertheim and Viv Bernstein. On the article, talking about Jerry Richardson, who was referred to, anytime a guy is referred to around the workplace as just simply Mr., I'm already starting off a little rough. That's how he was known, as just Mr. Mr. would come over and invite you to lunch. Mr. would send you an old-timey handwritten note. Okay, that's all right. He's an old Southern gentleman. It's fine. Apparently, Mr. would also do things like, allegedly, ask some of his female employees if he could shave their legs. There's that. Apparently, he had a special interest in female grooming. He would notice when their nails were not up to his standards and pay for them to get manicures. Multiple female employees told Sports Illustrated Richardson asked them if he could personally shave their legs. He would occasionally request female employees to visit him during a workday in his suite inside the stadium. The women would be escorted by his assistant, who would then depart, leaving the owner alone with the employee. One former employee recalls him arriving barefoot and asking for a foot massage. Others would talk about Richardson giving back rubs that lingered too long or went too low down the spine. He was also known for what multiple women call the, quote, seatbelt maneuver. I'm reading from the SI article here. He would invite female employees out to lunch. And in keeping with his reputation as a self-styled gentleman, he would open the car door for his guests. Nothing wrong with that. I'm all for chivalry. I still am. I don't care what you say. But once they were seated, however, he would insist on fastening their seatbelts for them, reaching across their lap and brushing his hand across their breasts before putting the belt in the clasp. Yeah. There's a lot more in this article I suggest you you read. Settling of multiple lawsuits or potential lawsuits for sexual harassment. Settling multiple suits in the past for racism or racial slurs. Including him owning the Denny's chain owned by Flagstar, settling one suit for discriminating against African Americans, segregating black patrons, and requiring them to prepay for meals. Six black Secret Service agents assigned to President Bill Clinton's detail were refused a table at a Denny's in Annapolis, Maryland, while their white Secret Service colleagues were seated and served. This company paid over $54 million to settle different lawsuits. So Jerry Richardson has put the Panthers up for sale. Not technically yet. He said, we're going to finish out the season. We're not going to talk about this anymore. Then once the season ends, I'm going to sell the Panthers. So that's big NFL news. And I know when I hear big NFL news, Kyle, the first thing I want to hear, the person I want to hear from the most, is P. Diddy. P. Diddy weighed in on the sale of the Panthers. And let's just say he threw his comb in the ring. Diddy, it's just the Carolina Panthers, dude. If you want any chance, you're going to have to. First rule of acquisition is you're going to have to get the name correct. It's the Carolina. It's the Carolina Panthers, okay? It's the Carolina Panthers. They have Cam Newton. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah. Also.
Fine sentiment. But
this is not a vote. Fans aren't voting on who they want to be the owner.
Is it maybe his new show? What is it, the Final Four or the Four or whatever he thinks?
Making the band?
I'm not gonna lie. I wouldn't mind seeing ownership dealt with that way. I wouldn't mind having, like, the four finalists. And then you have, like, they're all vetted.
It'd be incredible.
And then you have a reality show. Who's going to be the next NFL owner?
And fans vote on it?
And fans
vote. Oh, man, I'm in.
But here's the problem with fans voting, though. It would almost have to be judges. Because here's why. Because if I, let's say, for example, Seattle, the Seahawks were up for sale. As a Niner fan, I would take whoever the worst owner is on that show. And
that's fair.
See what I'm saying? We'd have to find a way to make
like
it.
Like a panel of four diehard Panthers fans, yes. Season ticket holders.
Get like I'd say,
and then you get like a focus group.
Yeah, you'd have to get like two diehard Panther fans, an accountant, somebody who understands the money and who has the best ability to finance this thing, and then like an NFL rep or something. You'd have to have a diverse selection. P. Diddy continues though with his pitch. He wins Super Bowl after Super Bowl. So P. Diddy's credentials. He will sign Colin Kaepernick. And have him immediately compete with Cam Newton. They will have phenomenal halftime shows. Now, that I believe. I'm pretty sure P. Diddy can put together some pretty cool halftime shows. And then, of course, they will win Super Bowl after Super Bowl. Because, really, it's that easy. Just come on in and take over the North Carolina Panthers. Now, Diddy Combs is the first guy I want to hear from when in cases like this. The second guy I want to hear from, of course, is Jerry Jones. Now, I've not heard this clip, but I'm going to guess Jerry Jones is very upset about these allegations and is very disappointed in his fellow Jerry, Jerry Richardson. I'll play the clip, see if I'm right.
Yeah.
He's a great story. Jerry's very sad for Jerry Richardson, the billionaire. He's sad for
him. Yeah, dude, that's going to suck for him to, at 81, have to sell the team for billions of dollars.
As a guy in Jerry Jones who is used to taking pictures with chicks in hotels that are literally on their knees while taking those pictures with him, it's a rough thing.
Very rough.
It's a rough thing for old Jerry Jones to have to deal with this because Jerry Richardson did it the old-fashioned way. He did. Back in the day when it was okay, I used to buckle seatbelts for all my employees, male or female.
Hey, how many P. Diddy songs has Jerry Jones ever listened to?
The over-under?
Yeah.
Without knowing or knowing? Because, like, are we counting songs that have played in his stadium that he didn't know, but just like, oh, I kind of like the way this sounds?
Like, I don't know. I'll have to think about it. We got to go.
We'll take a break. When we get back, let's get into the Raiders, Kyle. Stop distracting me. They lose a heartbreaker. We'll try to figure out, should an index card have been used or should it have been a folded piece of paper? Perhaps a string, some other way to measure a first down and perhaps the entire game. We're coming back next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Oh, boy. It's just a tough loss for the Raiders and for Raider fans. Do I think they lost because of the measurement with the piece of paper? No. Do I think they lost because of the dumbass rule out of bounds? Well, I guess they lost because of both those things, really, if I'm being honest here. But the Raiders did not play a perfect game. They played far from a perfect game. When you're being shut out at the half at home by the Dallas Cowboys, who granted their defense can be a little bit underrated. They have some phenomenal defensive players on that team. But if you'd have told me that the Raider defense would hold the Cowboys to 20 points, I tell you, I think they got a pretty damn good shot at winning the ballgame. I mean, maybe this Raider team just, I don't know what it is, but I do know that there need to be changes in the offseason. You have to get a new offensive coordinator. Reggie's going to have to go to work. I see a lot of my Raider fan friends, and we're going to have some smack talk later, and we'll go back and forth, Niners, Raiders, and we'll have fun. But in all seriousness, I see some of my Raider fan friends that are kind of freaking out. Kyle, I don't think they're that far away.
No.
They're not that far away. They need a few pieces. But when you start out with Derek Carr and Khalil Mack, and you sprinkle in a Crabtree, you sprinkle in an Amari Cooper, who I still think is going to be a fantastic receiver in this league long term. I'm still on the bandwagon. Fill in some holes on that defense. Get going in the draft a little bit, and you're fine.
The two most important positions on the field are your quarterback and a good pass rusher. And the Raiders have both of those things. They have two cornerstone franchise players at the two most important positions on the field. Filling in talent around them is not going to be difficult.
No.
And they should be, their roster is better than, what are they now, 6-8?
Yes.
Their roster is better than 6-8. Their coaching staff stinks. Anybody who looked objectively at Jack Del Rio knew that coming into the year. And knew that last year was a series of gambles and a series of bounces that went the Raiders' way. And that wasn't sustainable. And we're seeing that this year. They are regularly underprepared. They are not playing up to what they're capable of on offense.
Already had to fire Ken Norton Jr.
They fired a defensive coordinator. They're stunting the growth of their quarterback. This is not a well-coached team, but the talent is there. And that's obvious to anybody who's watched this team over the last two or three years.
When you look at the Raiders and everything you just said, I got to give – so I know we went in on it a little bit. But do you remember before the season started – and I'll have to find the article, but the article came out. It was an ESPN article – that talked about how the Raiders were, of all the teams in the NFL, set up for the most regression. And they went over the outcome in the close games last season. And they compared that outcome and the Raiders enjoying, you know, the going for two against the Saints early in the year. And there were a bunch of other games where it could have gone either way. And almost every single one went the Raiders' way. And they compared that to the average throughout the NFL. And they also showed teams in the past that had enjoyed success and the following year what happened. In almost every single case, that team came back to earth. They said the Raiders are set up to be a 7-9, 8-8, 9-7 team this year. And you know what? They nailed it. They absolutely nailed it. And you have to, I think, in retrospect, give a little bit of credit. An article that a lot of Raider fans didn't want to see, didn't want to hear, understandably so. From the 209, everyone forgot what Del Rio failed to do with the Jaguars, a great team that was brought down by bad coaching. My question would be this. I don't disagree with you, Kyle. And to be honest, I really like Jack Del Rio. And to be even more honest, a good portion of why I like Jack Del Rio is our good friend Sean Salisbury, who comes on, who was his college roommate, and who talks about how important the Raiders are to Jack, how much he loves Raider Nation, and how this is his dream job. That scores points with me. That matters to me. But in reality, it shouldn't matter to me. It shouldn't matter at all. Who cares? But what is the difference between Jack Del Rio this year and Jack Del Rio last year? Like, what is he doing so badly? Honest question. Did he just get lucky last year? Was that what it was? Was he a bad coach last year, but got lucky, and then this year he's not getting the luck? Or is he a good coach this year who's not getting lucky? And every good
definitely
coach
definitely the first one.
Okay.
Like, for sure the first one. Khalil Mack took over a couple games late last year. They had the two-point conversion in New Orleans. They squeaked out some wins. Their win against the Titans, they didn't score a point in the second half, and a wonky offensive PI call is the reason the Titans lost that game. There were so many games the Raiders could have and probably should have lost last year and wound up 7-9, 8-8, maybe 9-7.
Speaking of wonky offensive PI calls, a lot of Raider fans are talking about the Michael Crabtree offensive pass interference call late in the game. I thought it was a good call. I didn't have a problem with that. He made contact more than a few yards down the field, pushed the guy out of the way. It was a questionable. Could it have gone as a no call? Sure. But I didn't think it was this egregious, crazy call. That Crabtree pushed the dude out of the way and grabbed the ball. We'll take a break. When we get back, we'll slip into the Kings just a little bit. Kings lose to the Raptors over the weekend. We'll talk about that, mainly about Scalabrine here. And then it's just a ton of football, guys. It's football for the next hour and a half. We'll get into four down territory and then go into both Niners and Raiders and some of the other things we saw over a crazy, crazy football weekend. Back in three, Sports 1140 KHDK.